Hello, and welcome to Keep Middlesex Moving Mobility Matters podcast. I am Christina Fowler, and I'm joined today by our fellow host, Christopher Gonda. On today's episode, we have with us Dr. Anna Hausman, who is not only an active volunteer at the New Brunswick Bike Exchange, but also a director of veterinary development. Thank you for joining us, Anna.
Oh, thank you all for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So before we get started, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So I guess the short version of it, and maybe you can hear it in my voice, a lot of people say they can hear the Midwest accent. It is true. I'm not an East Coaster originally. I grew up in a suburb of Chicago. And upon finishing up my undergraduate degree, I decided that I wanted to become a veterinary medical doctor. I went up to the University of Wisconsin-Madison for my veterinary degree. And excitingly enough, while I was there, I had to milk cows one summer, and I had to get to the barn at 4 a.m. and the buses weren't running. So I absolutely used my bike. I would bike down the road at 3:30 a.m. so I could get to the cows to get them milked. And then after I finished up my veterinary degree, I worked in mixed animal veterinary practice. Until I was offered a job as a professor at Rutgers University, worked there for 4.5 years, and then was offered a job of this director of veterinary development role, decided to take that. And most excitingly, and related to this podcast, it would have been shortly after I moved to New Jersey, I got in touch with the Bike Exchange and have been volunteering there. And I help co-manage the New Brunswick Bike Exchange with Jim Britton. My big focus is on outreach events and weekend type of events. So been having a lot of fun at the New Brunswick Bike Exchange, and definitely recommend anybody to come check us out.
So for our listeners who aren't familiar, what is the New Brunswick Bike Exchange?
Sure. So the New Brunswick Bike Exchange, we're a volunteer group where people donate their old bikes and we fix them up and then sell them back to the community at a low cost. So we're all about recycling old bikes, getting bikes to individuals who might not be able to afford a new bike. And then also all of our proceeds, as we're a nonprofit, go to PRAB, which is a nonprofit in the New Brunswick area. So it's a combination of we're recycling bikes, getting more people onto bikes, and then also contributing any of our proceeds back to the community to support them as well.
That's excellent. So where can people find it, the New Brunswick Bike Exchange?
So the New Brunswick Bike Exchange, we're at 411 Joyce Kilmer Road in New Brunswick. That is the Teen Youth Center. So when you come off the main road, you're going to want to continue going straight to the back of the building. There's two speed humps there, and then you'll see the door to our location right now.
All right. So, yeah, we're glad to hear that we have the Bike Exchange local in Middlesex County. And we're also appreciative of you and your volunteers there helping us at our events. And that's actually how Anna and I had connected a few summers ago in the midst of the pandemic. But yeah, we're really happy with the work that they've done, not just with our bike rodeos, but to promote the Bike Exchange through the city, because New Brunswick is pretty big. And we know a few people know about the Bike Exchange and how awesome of an amenity it is to the city, but we're happy to promote you throughout the county too. So typically, what can people expect when they walk into the Bike Exchange? Like, how much are bikes, or what would they see, or can they get other parts or repairs?
Excellent question. So when you come into the Bike Exchange, since we're part of the teen center, usually the first thing you notice are all the pool tables and things that the for the teens that are there. But to the left-hand side, you'll see our bike racks, which are going to be hanging our adult bikes, so our larger bikes. And then upon walking in as well, you'll see our kids' bikes, which are not hanging because of their size, and they're quite a bit smaller. And when it comes to pricing, most of our kids' bikes, we usually do kids' bikes 16 inches and lower, $5. And then when we think about, yes, we have a lot of kids' bikes, and we really want to make sure we get kids on their bikes. And as a little plug, I always recommend anybody with children, I highly recommend taking advantage of the Bike Exchange, because what you'll end up noticing is Children will outgrow their bike within a year. So instead of having to buy a new bike every single year, what a lot of folks will do is they'll, get their $5, $10 bike, depending on the size of the bike their child needs, and then donate it back and then size up. So it's a much more economical plan as well. Plus, from a sustainability standpoint, recycling bikes is so much better than, throwing out a bike, in a year because your child outgrew it.
I'm
And then
noticing
when
that
it,
too. My son,
exactly.
he's turning 6, but our listeners may have seen him in a couple of KMM's videos, and he's got this little bike and it's really awesome, but he's getting a little big for it already. And I'm surprised that it's only lasting this long. So we will consider hitting the bike exchange pretty soon.
Absolutely. We would love to have you. Oh, and I should mention we're open Tuesdays and Thursdays, 6 until 8 p.m. So everybody who volunteers at our bike exchange, we all have day jobs and whatnot. So that tends to be the times that work the best for our volunteers. And then when it comes to adult bikes, they range anywhere from $35 to usually $85, $90. Every once in a while, we'll get a bike that might be a little bit more, but typically most of them are in that 35 to like 85, 90 range for the adult bikes, just depending on bike type, quality, parts on the bike, things of that nature.
Wow. And the great thing about the bikes there is that the volunteers and mechanics have reviewed them, they've looked at them, they know that they're safe to ride. So I think it's an excellent deal considering what you could be paying for in at other big box stores and things like that, to know that there are other options for bikes, for not just for affordability, but for reliability too. So that's excellent. So how did you personally connect to the New Brunswick Bike Exchange?
Yeah, so this is an interesting story. So when I was coming out to New Jersey, I did prior to coming out here, I was a mixed animal veterinarian. So people who don't know much about that, I always joke, the veterinary field, we are very handy folks because everything in the medical field is made for humans. And as veterinarians, we need to be very crafty sometimes in how we treat our patients. And even if you think about dogs as a species, you have dogs that are anywhere from, 2 pounds up to, 200 pounds. So a lot of times we have to really get creative in regards to how we treat patients. So a good example is we had an iguana come in with a broken leg. So we ended up needing to use tongue depressors in order to set the fracture because casting material and whatnot doesn't really work in that way for iguanas. So I was leaving veterinary practice at that time to go into a 100% teaching role, and I really like working with my hands and doing something mechanical. So I was like, well, I should find out what's in the area of where I'm moving to see if there's something I can volunteer with. I was looking for like Habitat for Humanity, those types of things, and I don't even remember what I typed in, but the New Brunswick Bike Exchange popped right up. And I was like, oh, great, because the bike that I was using in when I was in vet school, it was my brother's middle school bike. So it was much too small. I ended up giving it to a friend when I moved for my job. And I was like, well, one, I'm going to need a bike when I move to New Jersey. I'm like, two, this would be a great opportunity for me to have a good volunteer group and also kind of do something where I can work with my hands. So it ended up just kind of working out. I don't know, I guess maybe fate if you. If you believe in that.
I like how you said, if you move to New Jersey, you're going to need a bike. Now, I know that some of the other hands-on volunteering and with the bikes themselves. So it was the technical skills that interested you. I didn't know that when we first had our discussion. So that was really neat to hear. I know that you said you were very hands-on, but to think of, how your work with animals, how that transitions into your work with bikes and how you have to get creative with the parts and mechanical pieces that way is really interesting. So, through your volunteering, you've also encountered me at our community bike rodeos that we've had with a few of the municipalities, the boroughs, the townships in Middlesex County. And we're always pleased to have any folks from the bike exchange. But yeah, So the volunteering isn't only happening within the walls of the bike exchange, but you're also branching out into communities and bringing your volunteers there. What has that been like for the team at the bike exchange?
Yes, that's been a lot of fun, especially because that's something I really enjoy and have a lot of fun with. Just kind of getting that opportunity to work with kids or members of the community and kind of getting people back on bikes or getting kids on bikes and giving them that opportunity to kind of get outside and play. Because I remember as a kid, we would always bike to and from school. You'd bike to your friends' houses and, you know, that type of, I guess, upbringing, I think was really awesome for me. I have three brothers, so we were always like outside riding bikes. You know, some of my memories are completely related to just, you know, being outside riding around with them. So being able to help with some of that bike safety as well, I think is important because New Jersey in particular, I think a lot of people, it can be scary to be getting out and biking just because I will say, I can say this as a Midwesterner, I came out east, you all drive crazy compared to the Midwest. I had to like kind of adjust to that style. Like typically at home, if you hear a car horn, it means there's about to be like a crash because people don't use their horn. I've used my horn once in my life, and it was because a semi was merging into my lane and didn't see me. Where here, I feel like everybody beeps all the time. So I think a lot of times teaching that bike safety, how to signal, how to avoid like a pothole, things of that nature is important because it gives people the confidence to get out there and ride. And I do believe if we get more people biking, hopefully we can get that better bike infrastructure because it shocks me how many people, like for instance, I would bike commute to Rutgers from where I lived, and it shocked me how many people lived in my town. It's a 10, 15-minute bike ride, but they would still drive to work. And I always found that kind of interesting. And it was great going home, seeing all the traffic stuck there, and I could just ride by on the bike path and be like, haha, I'm beating you home.
And I encountered that today, actually, is coming up to a couple of traffic lights, and a lot of people were zooming past me, including school buses and things. There's plenty of space on the road. I felt fairly safe, but it's an interesting feeling when you're passing them at that same intersection that we're all heading towards. But I'm just pedaling along on my bike. But as a bike commuter in New Jersey, having come from the Midwest, just tell us about what goes through your mind when you're riding a bike to work or around for errands. Like, is there anything that scares you about being there? Like, what is it about the traffic?
Yeah, I think it took me a little bit to get comfortable like riding in like a bike gutter at the side of the road just because that was something I hadn't really experienced. I think it's because a lot of like the roads I'll be on, like, you know, it's that fear of like especially because my mom was always like, you know, my parents were always very like, you don't bike on the road, you're going to get hit. And like, they were very like anti-motorcycle, like very worried that, you know, we're going to get hit. So I think it's a partly that. And then I guess for me, I'm just always being careful. I mean, it's the same way I drive a car as well. I'm a very defensive driver in terms of like keeping, you know, being aware of my surroundings. And personally, when I bike, I have a, like the construction worker vests, which might seem to be overkill, but for me, I'm like, hey, if that's enough to have somebody realize, like, oh, there's a bike there, I should, you know, be careful. That's definitely something that's important to me. So for me, just having those types of reflective components and things just makes me feel a little bit more confident. And since I've started riding on the roads, it's not as scary as I guess I thought it would be. I think everybody thinks about like the really bad scenarios and things, but I've so far, knock on wood, I haven't had anything, you know, even remotely close to an accident or anything happen. So I think it's a lot safer than people think.
I think so too. And I also wear the bright yellow vest when I ride, especially when I'm commuting to work, because I feel a lot better knowing that drivers can see me versus if I'm over too far to the side and the likelihood of me seeming invisible is a little higher. When I have to change into the lane to do any type of maneuver, I check over my shoulder and I make sure that I have to be visible, because if there's any like chance that I can't be seen, you know, that the probability of something happening is a little bit higher. But yeah, I have those same fears too. And I think it's something that all cyclists kind of bond over.
Yes.
But for the most part, yeah, I think you're right. I think a lot of our roads could be perceived as safe, you know, with the right type of precautions. But there are a lot of roads that just aren't. So I think it's just important for us to take extra caution there. So you already talked a little bit about how you bike commuted when you were living in Wisconsin and how you're doing that here too. And I know we had talked about sustainability in other conversations on the past, but I was interested in whether you had any specific concerns or anything when it comes to how transportation affects animal life. So not just pets and the safety in traffic, but maybe smaller animals.
So like think about like dogs and cats?
Well, I don't know, maybe or a little smaller animals. If we're thinking about transportation, climate, environment, sustainability, thing, what runs off the road and how does that affect our ecosystems and things like that?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So thinking about like the intersection of our transportation and how it affects our wildlife populations. Excellent. Definitely in a lot of different ways that we might not even consider. So if we think about like carbon emissions, the majority of them are coming from our vehicles and burning of the fossil fuels. And all of those are going to have an effect on climate, which we do know when we start affecting climate, we are affecting our ecosystem. So a really good example a lot of people might think about, especially if anybody out there has a dog, for example. So most of your dogs are going to be on heartworm preventative, flea and tick prevention. What a lot of people might not know is that due to climate change, the climate is getting warmer, which means our mosquitoes, our fleas, and our ticks are able to survive year round and move further and further north. So for example, the town that I used to practice in back in Illinois, they never had heartworm disease cases. And heartworm disease is a disease that is spread by mosquitoes. While I was working there, we had our first case of a dog that had never left the state but tested positive for heartworm. So by default, that meant that mosquitoes that have heartworm disease, which typically were only in the southern United States, are now surviving and thriving further north. So mosquito-borne diseases, tick-borne diseases, fleas, they transmit tapeworm to dogs and cats. All of those different parasitic insects are all being able to survive year round and also move further north than they could before. So for example, this past February, one of my friends got a tick on a hike and you'd be like, it's February, this shouldn't happen. But in the leaf litter, it stays warm enough, the tick can burrow under there and survive. So historically, these types of parasites used to die in a freeze in the winter, but now these different parasites are now living year round, moving further and further north, which has an effect, of course, on human populations, but also our pets, as well as our wildlife populations as well.
Wow. I really learned something new in the last few minutes. I didn't even think about how climate change could really affect those types of bugs and things that can, and diseases for pets. But wow. Yeah, I'm sure that'd be highly valuable to any of our folks who are listening too. So I know you keep busy with the Bike Exchange, but there's another organization that I know you've volunteered with in the past, and that's Girls in Gear. I can see you're wearing their hat, right?
I have the Girls in Gear hat on today representing.
Yeah, so I know you volunteered with us through the Bike Exchange and the bike rodeos. How did you connect with Gabby and Girls in Gear?
Yeah, excellent question. So ended up connecting with Gabby actually through the Bike Exchange. So our Bike Exchange, the Girls in Gear program is a program where female identifying girls are basically learning life skills through bike skills. And through that, they have a policy there that's a no questions asked policy of like, if you say we can't have a bike, we need a bike, a no questions asked policy of providing a bike. So the bike exchange itself has donated bikes to Girls in Gear and also fixed up some bikes that were donated to Girls in Gear, and we just kind of got them, you know, safety checks, making sure that everything was functioning appropriately and whatnot. That's how I ended up connecting with Gabby. And at that time, they were interested in starting a new Brunswick Girls in Gear program. So I ended up jumping in on that, which we meet every Sunday during each of the different seasons, and we go through different activities, different games to one, for the girls to have fun and just be able to get out on their bikes, but also learning skills like communication, teamwork, being, you know, comfortable, being like assertive in terms of like, oh, if we're riding down a road and we need to stop because a car is coming, you know, being confident enough to be like, yes, I can speak up and say to everybody else, like, okay, we need to stop. So learning those different types of skills and kind of creating a bonding experience for these kids.
That's excellent. One of our colleagues is actually going this afternoon to help with one of the sites in New Brunswick. But it's such a wonderful program to acknowledge that girls have these needs and we can use a bicycle to help them, come to different realizations and see this as a tool to teach them different social and emotional skills. So that's amazing. So for anyone that needs a bike in the New Brunswick or Middlesex County area, they can visit the New Brunswick Bike Exchange. And if you're looking for bicycle education programs here at KMM, we have a number of them that are coming up through the summer. Girls in Gear is also a local organization who is, all throughout New Jersey teaching life skills through bike skills. And thank you so much, Anna, for having this discussion with us.
Anna, you talked so much about the bikes and donating them to Girls in Gear. If someone would like to donate their bikes, what would be the best approach? Should they come on the Tuesdays and Thursdays that you are open, or reach out first? What's the best approach?
Excellent question. So if somebody is interested in donating a bike, they are of course free to come on a Tuesday or Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. to our location at on 411 Joyce Kilmore. If that ends up kind of not working too well with your schedule, they can always send us an email and we can see if we can find an alternate time, which can be a little bit challenging, but sometimes we do have a volunteer or two that will like go in on a weekend to work on bikes. So definitely Tuesday, Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. is definitely your go-to. But if oh, and I should also mention as well, local bike shops like the local bike shop in Highland Park, Kim's Bike Shop in New Brunswick, they all take donated bikes for us as well. So if it's easier to drop off at one of those shops, you can drop off at those locations and then they contact us when there's X number of bikes and then we can go pick them up. So that's another option as well if the Tuesdays and Thursdays 6 to 8 doesn't quite work.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Anna. We really appreciate you joining us and want to thank our listeners for listening in today. And also, we want to make a note that all the programs that we talked about will be linked in the podcast notes so that you can connect with them if you'd like to listen as well.
Funded by the North Jersey Transportation Planning Authority and the Federal Highway Administration.